Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, this past Thursday, the Lord called 43 young men to be pastors and missionaries in his harvest field. As I watched the call service online and heard my former professor preach, I thought about all the other professors who taught me at the seminary. And the reason that I mention this is because I think that we can draw a helpful comparison to what Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians. You know, it takes a large faculty of professors to train young men to be pastors. There are professors of homiletics, which teach us how to preach. There are professors of Old Testament, which teach books of the Old Testament. There are church history professors, which, as you could guess, teach church history. All of these men have specific calls to teach on a focus of the curriculum. And they've all been gifted in their own special and unique ways. So while they teach different subjects, they are all united in their common goal and purpose, which is to train men to be pastors. In a way, all of you are like professors. Did you know how? Because just as the Holy Spirit gave those professors their individual gifts, he gives you your individual spiritual gifts. And just as all of those professors are united in one common goal and purpose to train pastors, you all are united in the same goal to serve God. As we study these words from Paul, we're going to learn that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to his church. First of all, to create faith, and secondly, to nourish and strengthen faith. Have you ever wondered what the Holy Spirit does? You know, like, we're so familiar with what God the Father does, right? How he loves us and provides for us. And we're so familiar with Jesus and how he rescued us from our sins by dying on the cross. But maybe some of you are a little bit unsure today. What exactly does the Holy Spirit do? I mean, we pray to him in church. We just sang songs to him. We confess our faith in the Holy Spirit using the creeds. But what exactly does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Paul gives us an answer in verse 3. He says, "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit is to create faith. To create faith in sinners like you and me. On Pentecost, Jesus kept his promise of sending the Holy Spirit. We heard about it in today's gospel lesson, how Jesus promised this living water to those who believe in him. Well, John explained what Jesus meant in those words. John says, "By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, i.e. on Pentecost. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So on Pentecost, this miraculous day, all of Jesus' disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and given this special gift to be able to speak in tongues and to understand all sorts of different languages. Do you remember how that day ended? Over 3,000 people were added to the number of believers. Jesus' promise of the gospel going out to all people, this was fulfilled as the disciples preached to all of these different nations. The Holy Spirit creates faith. Now, why is that important, you ask? Well, first of all, without faith in Jesus, there is no salvation. Without faith in Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And remember, all of us at one time were enemies of God. We did not always believe in God. We did not always have faith in him. No, in fact, we rejected God because of that sinful nature that lives inside of us. Thankfully, out of God's grace, he gave us faith, and so we have salvation. Secondly, we must recognize that without the Holy Spirit, there is no faith. Right? Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that many churches teach otherwise? They say that each person has to, at some point in their lives, make the conscious decision to accept Christ and to follow his ways. Scripture tells us that's not true. And maybe you recall what you possibly learned in catechism, the explanation of the third article to the Apostles' Creed. Do you guys want to say it with me? No, okay, we won't do that. I believe that I cannot by my own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me by his grace, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Do you remember that? Luther, he takes exactly what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians. You need faith. And we can be thankful for Luther that he gave this very holistic and concise statement of faith about the Holy Spirit. But you know, the Holy Spirit's work, it doesn't stop there. Yes, he gives us faith to confess in Jesus as our Lord, but he also gives us gifts to serve Jesus Christ, our Lord. Does that make sense? He blesses us with gifts to nourish our faith and the faith of other people. So you can see there's a smorgasbord of spiritual gifts here. Paul listed such a variety, and what you'll notice on this side of the screen is that these are gifts that are uncommon today, right? Like gifts of healing and miraculous powers and direct prophecies and speaking in tongues. We don't see those today. And you see, back then, God used these gifts in order to testify about Jesus. Okay, he gave these gifts to his church in order to testify to the truth that Jesus is their Savior. But when the New Testament writings came, when we got the canon, there was no longer any need for that because the scriptures testify to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit now gives various gifts, other gifts to his church that we can still see today. Right? Wisdom. Wisdom which helps us to make godly decisions. And knowledge which helps us to understand the Bible and what God says in his word. People that have gifts of strong faith, their faith shines brightly in the world and encourages other people. Distinguishing spirits, that's a gift that we reject all the false teachings and the false spirits. And there are so many more. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this is not an exhaustive list. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I have any of these gifts, remember that the Spirit gives many other gifts too. Like some of you have the gift of prayer. You're a prayer warrior, and you can pray for a half an hour. Some of you have the gift of kindness, where you just, all the time, you just want to show kindness to anyone in your life. Some of you have the gift of helping other people, right? Where you say, hey, whatever you need, I've got you. I'm there for you. God gives his whole church a variety of gifts, and all of them work together to serve his purpose. The question is, are you using your gifts? Let's go back to the seminary professors. Greek and Hebrew are hard. They are hard to learn, but they are much harder to teach. What if a man who is very gifted in the language of Greek just decided, well, it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. I'm not going to teach Greek anymore. Would he be using his gifts then? No, he'd be hiding his gifts from the world. God wants us to use our gifts so that we can bless other people. So Paul is encouraging us to do the same thing. And you know, all of you sitting out here, you have different gifts. No two people have the exact same gifts. But God says that you have one. Paul reinforces that in verse 11. He says, all of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and the Spirit distributes them to each one, each person, just as he determines. So friends, you have a gift. What do you do with it? Use it. Use your gifts and celebrate the gifts that other people have that you don't have, because they all work together. Just like it does at the seminary, right? As an Old Testament history professor doesn't have the same gifts as a Greek professor, or as a Greek professor doesn't have the same gifts as a Hebrew professor. They all work together, and we can celebrate that other people are given different gifts. Your gifts matter when it comes to the life of a church. Your gifts are needed. As I think about how diverse the day of Pentecost was, how all of these people from all over the world came together, I think we have a special diversity here at Shepherd of the Bay too. I mean, there are folks from Minnesota and Wisconsin and Kansas and New York and Florida and, yes, Virginia. We don't have all have the same East Coast culture or background or accent, but all of us are united in the same family. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, the same Spirit. I've been your pastor now for almost 1 year. Can you believe it? I've gotten to know most of you pretty well, all of you really pretty well, and I see spiritual gifts in each one of you. And maybe I see some gifts that you don't even see that you have that yourself. If you don't believe me, just ask. Use the gifts that God has given you. Find more opportunities as things come about, like soccer camp or the church picnic or VBS. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve him. So friends, as we celebrate Pentecost today, I want to encourage you to do two things. Number one, thank the Lord for your faith. Thank the Holy Spirit that he's given you faith to believe in Jesus, and through faith, salvation and heaven. And then secondly, trust that God will nourish your faith by using your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.